Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute, divisions of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. What motivates a woman to serve in Southern Africa for her entire career as a missionary? Why is she asked to write a book about her life and ministry? This is the story of Dr. Sheila Foster Fabiano, who carries on a family legacy for Christ, that is, service in Africa that has lasted over 100 years. We pause to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program. Well, it's simple. It's to share how the love of Jesus Christ makes a difference in the lives of people. I'm talking about the love of Jesus so strong that he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross, yes. He was buried, yes. But 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ offers God's hope to you. He's touched the life of Sheila. He'll touch your heart. And if you already know the Lord, well, my friend, I believe that you're going to be built up today, encouraged. Dr. Sheila Foster Fabiano is a third-generation missionary who was born and raised in Zambia, Central Africa, where her paternal grandparents, as well as her parents, lived and worked as missionaries. After completing degrees in nursing and biblical studies from Rutgers University and Regent College, respectively, she went to Angola in 1979 to serve first as a pediatric nurse practitioner and part-time Bible teacher. She is now a full-time faculty member of Instituto Superior de Teologia Evangelica Nulubangu, ISTEL, in Angola. Her PhD is from Trinity International University. Dr. Fabiano, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be able to be with you.
Where in Zambia were you born and raised?
The place was called Mukingi Hill. It's in more or less the northwest section of Zambia. The government post was called Kasempa. It was a mission station that had a hospital and a school and church, of course, and the hospital was built by my dad.
When you reflect back on growing up in Mukinga and thinking about your heritage, what stirs in your heart?
That's a good question. I think for me, two things perhaps. One is the model of Christian life or walking with God that I saw in my parents as well as my grandparents. My grandfather Foster was a Bible translator and was there at Mukingi probably at least 60 years of his life. Their model of faith was, I think, one of the biggest things. And the other was just to see the African church growing in faith and in numbers during that time as well.
Who would you say, Sheila, influenced you most in your growing up years?
That's a good question, too. It depends on what phase of life you're in, but I think to begin with, certainly my parents.
In what way?
They modeled caring for others. Our home was always Grand Central Station or the hotel, you could say. My mom had the gift of hospitality. And so we always had all the visitors who came always stayed with us. I think my sister and I hardly ever slept in our own bedroom because it was always the guest room. But for me, that was a very impacting kind of modeling of what it means to be Christian family and to take in whoever comes to your door. And so that was one one big thing. I think also Dad was a man of faith. He had the gift of faith and vision. He really lived that out from day to day. So those two things impacted my life greatly. And I see that as I look back on my own experience on the mission field.
I watched a video of him telling the story of how he stood in line for medical school without any money, and how God provided, and how he conquered with the help of just one man and a cane and a spear, the Mamba.
Yes, yes. Those kinds of stories that Dad used to tell us as well, of course, were models of faith. I think, he always said, the way God provided for me is the way he's going to provide for you. And that was definitely has been the case. All of us seven kids have gone to university and postgraduate schools. And so all at no expense to my parents in that sense. God provided in many different ways.
And your brother Stephen also became a surgeon, didn't he? Following
That's
in,
correct.
In your father's
yes.
footsteps?
Yes, he's a general surgeon and still working as a surgeon in Lubango, actually. I'm very privileged to have an older brother nearby. He and his wife are there.
We're talking about faith now. How would you describe your growth as a Christian?
Well, I think, I can't remember exactly when I committed my life to Christ because I sort of grew up into faith in a Christian context because of my parents. We had devotions every day and had to memorize scripture at home. And at boarding school where I went at the age of six, it was a boarding school for missionary kids run by a Plymouth Brethren group of missionaries. And one of the things that was required was memorizing scripture, one verse a day. So those kinds of things build into your life, a knowledge of who God is. But I think I came to really understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life when I was a teenager and had the privilege of working one summer when we were back in the U.S. It was in between my 11th and 12th grades of high school. At that point, I worked at Ben Lippin Bible Conference in South Carolina, I guess it's North Carolina, in the mountains here near in Appalachia. And that experience that summer, I had the privilege of hearing Stuart Briscoe preach on Romans 5-8 and learned who the Holy Spirit was and his role in our lives. And I think for me, that was a very key turning point in enjoying being a Christian. Up to that point, it was all do's and don'ts and making sure that I didn't do anything wrong, so to speak. but I think discovering that the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to live the life that God asks us was a huge turning point for me.
Learning to hear the voice of God's Spirit speaking.
Yes.
When did you know that you wanted to serve as a missionary in Africa?
Okay. Perhaps for me, the question was kind of the opposite, because growing up in Africa, I considered it more home than North America. We came back to the U.S. When I was going into 11th grade in high school, and I stayed through college years here in the U.S. and then went as a missionary later. So for me, it was sort of like the question was more, is God going to ask me to stay in North America? And I was very afraid that he would. I really thought, I really don't want him to say stay. I wanted him to say go. And so, but the dilemma for me was to know whether my desire to be in serving the Lord in Africa someplace, it didn't have to be Zambia, of course, whether that desire was simply my own or whether it was actually a call from God. And so when I was working in the Boston area in the late 70s, I started asking the Lord, and I said, okay, Lord, I really need a sign from you as to what is your call on my life. And so I asked the Lord for a sign that didn't have anything to do with my parents and didn't have anything to do with the mission organization that they had been with. And about 3 months after starting to pray that way, I received a letter in the mail. We didn't have email in those days. I received a letter from the president of a church denomination in Angola that has that owned a mission hospital. It had been started by a Swiss evangelical mission and was now, after independence, in the hands or the ownership of this church denomination. And so the president said, would I consider coming to work at the hospital that they had to set up a pediatric unit and to do primary health care with children? So for me, that was a clear answer to my prayer, because it didn't have anything to do with my parents and it didn't have anything to do with the mission organization. It was a request, an invitation from the church leader. So that for me was confirmation that that was the direction to go.
And that answers our question as to not only why Africa, but why Angola?
Yes. Yeah, I had visited Angola when I was doing my pediatric nurse practitioner internship. At that time, being a nurse practitioner required having a job already on the line, you know, that some doctor had agreed to take you on as a team member. And so in order to get into the program, because they didn't want to train nurse practitioners who didn't have any place to work afterwards. So when I applied, I said to the leadership of the program, I really want to work overseas someplace. I don't want to stay in North America. Can I do my internship in Africa under the tutelage of my father, who was a missionary doctor? And they said, yes, that was not a problem at all. So I spent eight months in Angola at that time, because mom and dad were working in Angola, in the central part of Angola, the mission hospital that later got destroyed by the war.
You're listening to Dr. Sheila Foster Fabiano speaking of her journey of faith, her journey of growth, and her call to missionary work in Angola. You can find out more about her and her ministry at sim.org. Did I mention a call to go on the mission field? Well, for her, it was the opposite. She wanted to be there because that was her home. But the Lord made it very clear. Having grown up in Zambia, she was to minister in Angola. When we come back from our break, you'll hear more from Dr. Sheila Foster Fabiano. Some observations on her colleagues who have lived through civil war. What happens to a person? How do you minister to a person like that? And how did she focus? Her focus changed from being a medical missionary to a professor at Ishtel. That and more when we come back. SIM.org. Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly. James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you. Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. A police officer found a girl crying on the sidewalk one day. "What's wrong?" he asked. "I'm lost," she said. "Do you have your parents' phone number?" he asked. "No," she said. What about your address? No, she began to sob. Suddenly, she stopped, and her eyes brightened. What happened? The officer asked. I remember, she said. There's a church near my house, and at the top of the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home. My friend, if you feel like you've lost your way, turn to the cross of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Will you turn to Jesus? Open your heart to Him and find your way home to God.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Dr. Sheila Foster Fabiano is a medical missionary, missiologist in Africa. She is a seminary professor and is helping to rebuild and has helped to rebuild the war-ravaged nation of Angola by training to teach and lead their church as well. You can find out more about the mission organization, SIM. Find out more about SIM and her at SIM.org. If you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of the last segment, you can get this program in its entirety as a podcast available on major podcast platforms. Just go to drdanny.live. Sheila, what have you observed in your colleagues who have lived through civil war?
That's a good question. I think in general, I would say my colleagues have been, have had their faith tested severely. For many years, all of us were praying for peace and for resolution of the civil war. It seemed like it went on forever. It lasted at least 30 years in the end. Between 25 and 30 years. And during that whole time, the call was for perseverance and patience and faith. And I think also because it was a Marxist era of government, there was also a lot of persecution of Christians. Persecution in terms of exclusion, I would say. For example, at the Bible school that was on the mission station where the hospital was, the Bible school students were considered to be non-productive members of society, which excluded them then from being able to buy the basic food necessary for life. Like, and that was all rationed at that time. You could only buy a kilo. Each person was allowed a kilo of flour, a kilo of sugar, a liter of oil, and a kilo of beans per month. That was your ration for the month. But those who were Bible school students were considered non-productive members of society, so they weren't able to buy anything. So the workers, the nurses and the other staff of the hospital decided to share what they had with the Bible school students. So that's just an example of how difficult it was to be a Christian. I think it strengthened the church. The church became much stronger because of the opposition and the difficulties of war. So it really mattered if you decided to be a Christian.
Not everyone, particularly in America, come to bare bones like that. Some do, but few, relatively speaking. But to see the church grow in depth in a moment like that, both individually and corporately, in Angola. Sheila, how did your focus change? Speaking of work in the hospital, how did your focus change from being a medical missionary to a professor to a professor at Ishtel?
Okay. I think our Christian lives are an adventure with God. I think we don't know, of course, where God is going to take us. And maybe missionary life is even more of an adventure than on this side of the water. But I think for me, I always I loved biblical studies and theology, and I loved nursing as well. And so ever since I went to Angola, I ended up doing a little bit of both for the most part. But in 1992, this was after my husband had died, my children were small, and I was going on home assignment, and I just said to the Lord, I don't see how to keep on continuing with two things, particularly because the kids were small. So I said to him, Lord, I really like nursing and I enjoy what I'm doing. I also love teaching scripture. So whichever one is the right one to be more involved in, you let me know, because I like both and it doesn't really matter to me, but I can't see how to continue to do both things. So I just told him that, went on home assignment, and things kind of fell apart in the country. There had been a peace in 1992, if you remember the history. There was a kind of a peace agreement, and they had elections. They were going to have elections for a president. Neither party won more than 50% of the vote. So it was going to be a runoff election, and then basically it went, the whole country went back to war. So at that point, I had written the church leadership to ask whether it was feasible to return to Angola with three small kids as a single parent, because I didn't want them, I didn't want to overburden them looking at, you know, because the church leadership were responsible for us at that time, particularly. Anyway, I received a letter back from the leader of the church saying, and the school saying, please don't come right now because it's not safe. But as soon as it is safe, we really want you to return, and we would like you to consider teaching full time at the theological college rather than doing nursing. And so for me, that was a clear answer again that God was saying, that's the direction to go. And so I wrote back and said, oh, I'd be very happy to.
So that was a call, a redirection or a point of clarity.
Yes,
in,
exactly.
In the realm of theological education.
Yeah. And it's quite funny because, I mean, I started teaching. That was in full time when I returned in 1993, and I've basically been at the school ever since. In 2005, I asked the school for a sabbatical to bring my kids back here for transition into high school at that point. So high school and college. And so at that point, the school said, okay, we'll let you go, but would you please consider doing a PhD? Because we want to be able to offer a master's degree program at the school. So I said, well, okay, I would think about it. That was something I had never dreamed of doing. But ironically, when I graduated with my master's degree, one of the professors at the school then had said to me, now, Sheila, when you want to do your PhD, just let me know and I will write you a letter of recommendation. That was in 1974. And at that point, I told him, I said, what? PhD? That's not anything I'm ever going to do. I'm just going to be a pediatric nurse practitioner and work in a hospital. My famous last words.
And to see what the Lord has done in your PhD work there at Trinity under the directorship of Linda Connell. You're listening to Dr. Sheila Foster Fabiano. We're talking about a transition from one area of work, which she was very passionate about, nursing, to another area of work where she was also very passionate about theological education. And the Lord made it very clear to her through prayer. Remember, she talked early on in the first segment about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how Stuart Briscoe spoke from Romans 5 to 8, and She learned about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. My friend, as we go to break, is there a path that you are looking to find? Are you at the fork of, at a fork in the road of life, and asking all around for people to give you advice? But have you prayed? Have you stepped away for a moment and asked the Holy Spirit to guide you, to make clear what the Lord has made clear to Sheila Foster Fabiano? She'll share more about the clarity and how that unfolded richly when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life.
Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a program that was born out of prayer. The Spirit of Christ guides us through prayer, empowers us through prayer, and provides for us through prayer. There are mighty things that the Lord is doing in the Northeast, across the United States, and around the world. Would you like to be a part of God's work through The Good Life with Dr. Danny? Visit drdanny.live. Dr. Danny invites you to join his prayer team. Each month, you will receive a letter updating you on some of the behind-the-scenes developments, prayer requests, along with a devotional that Dr. Danny writes to encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Join the prayer team today and make an eternal difference in people's lives. Visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. A police officer found a girl crying on the sidewalk one day. "What's wrong?" he asked. "I'm lost," she said. "Do you have your parents' phone number?" he asked. "No," she said. "What about your address?" "No," she began to sob. Suddenly, she stopped and her eyes brightened. "What happened?" the officer asked. "I remember," she said. "There's a church near my house, and at the top of the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home." My friend, if you feel like you've lost your way, turn to the cross of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Will you turn to Jesus? Open your heart to Him and find your way home to God.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
In a culturally, linguistically, and economically diverse environment, SIM Angola partners with churches to make disciples of Christ in communities where He is least known, training and mentoring these individuals and groups through diverse ministries, including agriculture, healthcare, and teaching God's Word. This involves decades of servant leadership by Dr. Sheila Foster Fabiano. She joins us today from North Carolina. It's a blessing that she's with us. And dear friend, as you listen today, thanks for joining us. You can find out more about SIM at sim.org and get this podcast on major podcast platforms available at drdanny.live. So, Sheila, your PhD, your research, take us back a moment here.
Okay.
How does traditional African education fall into the category of embodied learning?
Well, I think all education, all that we learn, needs to be embodied. I mean, it needs to be lived out in both teachers and students, in parents and kids. So that's the way God designed us to learn. I think the Angolan context, African context, in some ways is easier for embodied learning just because it's part of much closer to the culture in many ways. People learn through apprenticeships in traditionally. So what we've done at the school where I teach is to include in the curriculum particular apprenticeship kinds of experiences to help them apply what they've learned in the classroom to a context, to a concrete situation. So we have one for in evangelism and discipleship. We have another in particularly in community development, and a third one in cross-cultural communication. Those are three different ones that are built into the curriculum, apart from their weekly experience in the church and helping to work in the church. But yeah, I think without that practical side of things, it's very hard to really grasp what the scripture is telling us about life with God. And I think that's one of the strengths of our curriculum, at least from my point of view.
As you've applied the implications of the research that you did, in what ways? I'm thinking about embodied learning and as a link to what you write about in narrative learning theory. How important are reflections on and the telling of stories in adult education at Eastel?
Well, they're very important. I think one of the big things in certainly in the several African, well, I think probably all sub-Saharan Africa, you have proverbs are one of the main vehicles for teaching and learning. And another are, there's a group, a people group in Angola called the Ganguelas. They use dilemma stories, which are stories with that end with a problem. And the hearers have to resolve the dilemma or give a solution to the problem. So it's teaching problem solving skills through story. And I think, of course, scripture is God's story, in a way. History is God's story also, in terms of how he is working through different nations and through his church. So the key thing is to figure out how to tie it all together. And I think one of the things that we try to do with that is also to help students think more critically about what they're learning and listening and experiencing. So that's where reflection comes in. It's really an important part of saying, okay, what does this teach me? What did I learn? What do I learn? Without that reflection, you can have lots of experience, but it won't actually teach you something without the reflection factor.
And are those moments of reflection, are they done individually, or are they done collaboratively? What takes place?
Well, I think we try to do it on both levels. Certainly, we have small groups, which here you might call spiritual transformation groups. The focus is on discipleship. So you have a faculty member with a small group. My group has 8 students in it from the first year through the fourth year. So the older ones can share with the younger ones, and as they reflect, each week we meet and they bring a problem to the table or something, some experience that they've had. And so we, share it together. Everybody gives their 2 cents about their own experience and how God taught them and what response they had found or made. And in that reflective group, each one learns as well, and as well as we can bring it to the Lord and pray about it and then see how God answers. So all of us, I think the group factor is very important, as well as the individual. So you need both.
Now, do all Eastel graduates, do they work in church ministries while going to school?
Yes. They're all required to do practical ministry in the churches, in their church. Many of them are sent by a denomination that they belong to get training. The program is sort of like I would say it's an MDiv curriculum, what you would have here for seminary at the postgraduate level, there we are doing at a bachelor's level. So they are required to be involved practically in ministry in their church every week. And then they have supervision. They have somebody in the local church who's their supervisor, as well as a faculty member that checks in on them as well. So we try to make sure that what they're learning in the classroom is also part of what they do at church or in the church. And one of the other things they have is what we call a reflexão teológica, a theological reflection each semester. So they take a problem that they've observed and then think about what they've learned in theory and then try to put it into practice to resolve the problem. So it's a kind of a problem solving exercise on the individual level as well.
What have you learned, Sheila, about their challenges? I mean, as you synthesized the data you collected in your research, their challenges, maybe a bit about their ministry practices, mentorships.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I think one of the biggest things I see has been integration. I think there's, because of the Western tradition of education, which tended to be very theoretical and not practical, the tradition that most students have grown up with in a church, if they come from a church setting, is very disorganized or very siloed. You know, their spiritual life or their life with God is in one box. Their life in school is in another box. Their life in their family is another box. Their culture is another. So they have all these separate boxes, and they haven't, the challenge is to figure out how do you integrate all of those things? And where is the intersection between faith and life and culture? How do all those things fit together? So I think one of the biggest challenges is integration of what we experience and know of God with the rest of our lives, so that it becomes of one piece and whole, and not all split up into little bits.
You're listening to Dr. Sheila Foster Fabiano. She is a faculty member of Ishtel, and you might be saying, Danny, what is Ishtel? I just tuned in. I've been trying to figure out what that means. Well, Ishtel is the Instituto Superior de Teologia Evangelica Nulubangu in Angola. It's where Dr. Fabiano teaches and has taught and has ministered for the past 4 decades. When we come back in our final segment, we'll talk about maybe a bit of personal life. Of course, this is all personal life. She's living. These experiences are lived through moments. These are reflections that she shares. And how important time is in our lives for moments of reflection. There's a higher quality and an essence that grows, heightening the moment when we reflect. More from her when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. A police officer found a girl crying on the sidewalk one day. What's wrong? He asked. I'm lost, she said. Do you have your parents' phone number? He asked. No, she said. What about your address? No, she began to sob. Suddenly, she stopped, and her eyes brightened. What happened? The officer asked. I remember, she said. There's a church near my house, and at the top of the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home. My friend, if you feel like you've lost your way, turn to the cross of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Will you turn to Jesus? open your heart to Him and find your way home to God. James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Dr. Sheila Foster Fabiano's parents, Dr. Robert, or known as Dr. Bob, and Belva Foster paved the way for her. The Fosters worked for more than four decades in hospitals they founded in Zambia. Sheila's paternal grandparents, Charles and June Foster, were also missionaries in Zambia in the early 1900s and survived the Great Depression by having enough ammunition to harvest a hippopotamus now and then. You're listening to the Good Life radio program. Thanks for joining us. You can find out more about Sheila at sim.org. Sheila, what is the current vision of Ishtel?
Well, our vision is to prepare church leaders and pastors to be able to proclaim the word. I know how to share God's word in a way that is contextual as well as orthodox in terms of evangelical theology and biblical theology, and also to be contextual in their presentation, to be able to be agents of change and transformation in their culture and in their society. So I would say that's our vision. It's to reach out and also to extend God's kingdom, right, through that process.
I read somewhere that the vision from the founders came about in 1981, and a statement saying that the vision has remained. That's astonishing. After all these years, that grounding or that foundation of clarity still remains.
Yes, we can certainly thank God for His faithfulness in that, because definitely there's always the temptation to change, perhaps, or change in wrong directions or get sidetracked. But I think, there's certainly, we have definitely tried to maintain that vision. And at the same time, perhaps be more aware of context. I think that's one of the big things in church and trends, you could say, trends in theology, evangelical theology today, is that emphasis on how does God's word apply to my context, to the situation that I'm in.
Speaking of God's word applying to context, our situations, yours, mine's, our listeners, how has the Lord helped you, Sheila, through difficult times?
Well, I think through people as well as through His word. As you know, my husband died already over 32 years ago. When he was 33 years of age, he had a malignancy in his brain at the time. So that was a very difficult 1989, 1990 were very difficult years. But there's been many others too, of course, along the way. I think God always gives you, or gives, has given me anyway, people to support and encourage, as well as passages of scripture from his word. In March this year, my youngest child, who's a son, was very sick with ulcerative colitis and had to have emergency surgery. And he was turning 33 this year. So for me, that was, and for him also, it was a very big crisis to think. He was on death's door at the time. And I remember saying to the Lord in prayer, you know, how can you do this to me again? You took my husband when he was 33, and now you're taking my son. I said, please, Lord, don't do that. And God had mercy, of course, and he did. He has healed my son. He's much, much better. He will not out completely cured yet, but at least has recovered very, very well. But I think the Lord at that time gave me a passage of scripture from 2 Corinthians that the one who raises the dead is able to take care of the situation. So I think I'm paraphrasing extremely, but those verses in the first chapter of 2 Corinthians were where Paul was suffering a crisis as well, were the words that the Lord used and gave to me to give me hope when I was feeling very hopeless at the time.
A thread is woven, Sheila, through our entire conversation, as I look back just in this brief moment, where you talked about mm-hmm. how the Spirit, going back to that camp where the Lord opened up your heart to learn more about how the Spirit leads and guides, and how you've prayed and the Lord has given mm-hmm. clarity and direction. A word of encouragement in view of that to someone listening with regard to God's word, God's comfort, God's strength, God's guidance in a moment like this.
Okay. Well, for me, I think the thing that has helped me the most is to affirm the truth that I know about God. I think when we're in crisis, we're very often tempted just to look at the circumstances or to look at our feelings and depend on our feelings. But God is always calling us to look at him and hold on to truth. Hold on to that which we know to be true. And in that moment, when we hold on to truth, God gives us the ability to trust, I think, and gives us the peace that we need. But if we're looking only to other people or only to our circumstances, I think we lose that sense of peace, or we don't find it as easily. Certainly other people can strengthen us, but I think God's word is the most important thing, or certainly has been for me.
Well, the Lord has given you a word about your son, and the Lord has had mercy on you from 2 Corinthians. He has sustained you. You encourage us today. Sheila, will you pray? Would you pray for our listeners, someone who's going through that rough patch right now in their own lives? A prayer, please.
Sure. Lord, we do pause to say thank you. Thank you especially for the fact that you are our all-knowing, good, and gracious, and loving Father, who understands us inside and out, who knows our circumstances, and who is sovereign in all things. Lord, we thank you that you are completely trustworthy, and that even in the midst of our doubts and fears, that you are ever present, you are there with us. So I pray for all and any who might be going through doubt, through discouragement, through with anxiety or with question marks, with fears. Lord, I pray that you will be the one to meet them in those in their need, that you will be the one to encourage and sustain and grow them through each experience. Lord, that's our desire, is to become more and more like you. And we want to reflect who you are to those around us. So I pray that you will encourage your children, wherever they might be right now, to trust and to hold on to your hand, knowing that you are the one that's holding our hand. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sheila, thank you. Thank you for sharing your heart with us, sharing your life, giving us a glimpse of the remarkable things that the Lord has and continues to do through you in Angola.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a privilege for me. Thank you.
Edifying words from Dr. Sheila Foster Fabiano. Find out more at sim.org. My friend, God's timing is perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, I believe this might be that perfect moment for you to open your heart to Christ. Go to drdanny.live. I've got some resources for you there. To join our prayer team or partner with us financially, again, drdanny.live, and I thank you in advance. Proverbs 2, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Dr. Sheila Foster Fabiano, sim.org. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, creative director, Brian Torres, web designer, Sheena Kusumoto, social media director, Luke Yamashiro, and guest coordinator, Jan Yi, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with The Good Life.